بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد We have been studying since the end of Ramadan بارك الله فيكم A very noble hadith and beneficial narration from the narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying the lofty and the noble upright manners, the manners of piety and honesty and truthfulness, the manners of iman and sincere faith and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the manners of dealing with one's own soul and his weaknesses and his deficiencies, how to rectify that and to correct that. Also clarifying the manners of how one will deal with the people and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that famous hadith, the hadith which is narrated by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi fi jami'ihi rahimahullahu ta'ala, with an authentic chain narrated from the hadith of Abi Dharr al-Ghifari Jundub ibn Junadata radiyallahu anhu, and likewise it is narrated from the hadith of Abi Abdurrahman Mu'adh ibn Jabalin radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised both of them at different times, that they were both advised with this great commandment and advice and direction from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَصَّاهُمَا بِثَلَاثَ وَصَايَا. He advised them with three important and highly emphasized affairs. And it is that famous statement, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah wherever you may be. وَأَتْبِعِي وَاتْبِعِ السَّيَّةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And follow up a bad deed with a good deed, it will erase it. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And to deal with the people, to treat the people with good manners. To deal with the people and to treat them with good manners. This narration, it consists of three beneficial affairs. The first one related to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is in the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah wherever you may be. Fear Allah wherever you may be. At every time and every place, in every situation. فِي سِرِّ أَمْرِكَ وَعَلَانِيَتِهِ. Whenever you are alone and in your private affair, and likewise in your public affair. And likewise in your public affair. استحي من الله حق الحياة. To be shy from Allah. This is what that statement means. To be shy from Him. Meaning to be shy from Allah, that He would see you perpetrating that which He has made impermissible, and committing actions of a disobedience that He is well aware of, and He sees and He hears. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fear Him in this manner, by leaving off the prohibitions entirely, in public and in private, and even more in private, and having more sincerity and devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal whenever the eyes of mankind are not watching. Rather fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the unseen. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً. They have the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing Allah Azza wa Jal whenever the people are not watching. Fearing Allah Azza wa Jal whenever the people are watching, this is something that many people do. يستخفون من الناس ولا يستخفون من الله وهو معهم. That they hide their sins and their faults and mistakes, and they hide their disobedience from the people, but they don't hide them from Allah. And verily Allah is with them. With them by way of His knowledge. With Him by way of His knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's well aware. خبير بما تعملون. He is well aware, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you are all doing. What we are doing, He is aware of that. لا تخفى عليه خافية. subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is hidden from him subhanahu wa ta'ala whatsoever. So this is a great advice. A great advice. Sincere advice for the slaves, for the people, for mankind, for us. From the messenger, the one who received revelation from the Lord of the worlds. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah. Fear him wherever you may be. And be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not perpetrate the actions of disobedience. Do not transgress his limits. Do not go beyond the boundaries. Do not fall in that which has been made impermissible. Not in creed. Not with the actions of the heart. Not in deed. With the actions of the body parts, with the eyes and the ears and the hands. Not likewise with the tongue. Not in statement. Fear Allah wherever you may be. Whenever you're in the masjid and whenever you're in the home. Whenever you are alone and whenever you're in public with the people. Whenever you're dealing with the Muslims and whenever you're dealing with the non-Muslims. Whenever you're gaining money and wealth, earning a living, or whenever you're relaxing. Whatever the case may be, and whatever the situation may be, and wherever you may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is aware of what you're doing. And the angels are writing. Kiraman katibin. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know what you're doing. They know what you're doing. Rather than writing that. And they do not leave anything. And they do not leave anything except that it is taken down and recorded. So therefore, the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the rights of Allah is to fear Him wherever you may be. And in our previous classes, alhamdulillah, we have seen much of the details with regards to this statement. And after that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified how to deal with one's own soul. Because no doubt, no matter how hard one devotes himself or tries to be obedient and upright, he has deficiencies. He has deficiencies and shortcomings with regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And although he may strive to be righteous and to have it at taqwa and piety, he will fall short from time to time. So whenever this occurs, what should one do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَتْبِعْ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow up the bad deed with a good deed. Follow up the bad deed with a good deed. إِذَا عَمِلْتَ سَيِّئَةً فَعْمِلْ حَسَنَةً. If you do a bad deed, then do a good deed. Why? تَمْحُهَا. It'll wipe it out. It'll erase it. The good deeds, الحسنات, يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla from His grace, the good deeds, they will wipe out the bad deeds. The good deeds, they will wipe out the bad deeds. We have taken a very great benefit that we should pay attention to, and that is derived from this. And that is the opposite is true as well. Barakallahu feekum, that the bad deeds, they wipe out the good deeds as well. The bad deeds can wipe out the good deeds as well. Rather, the greatest deed, it can be wiped out entirely. Shahada, shahadu an la ilaha illallah. This can be invalidated entirely. This can be invalidated from its foundation. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And even if it is not invalidated entirely, it can become deficient. And it become weak. And it can become weak. And all of that statement is heavy. Heavier than the heavens and the earth. As has come in the narrations. It's not heavy for everybody. It's only heavy for those people of taqwa. And those people who strive against their souls. Many people, they make that statement and it's light in their scales. And it's light in their scales. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But the means to rectify that has been clarified. And a believer should not have despair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَكْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Because verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives all of the sins. And from the means of that, وَأَتْبِعِ سَيَّةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْهُهَا. That you follow up a bad deed with a good deed, it will wipe it out, it will erase it, it will remove it. And the greatest of all good deeds that erase the bad deeds is at tawheed. And whatever is coupled along with tawbah, with sincere repentance and remorse, knowing that one has transgressed the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing that He has a Lord who has created him and shaped him and formed him and gave him life, knowing that He has a Master, Maliki Yawmiddin, Malikul Mulk, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, who is providing for him and taking care of him. Everything that he has from the goodness of this life and the hereafter is from Allah. مَا بِكُم مِن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever blessing you have, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who remembers it. And then likewise, he remembers that his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbu, He has limits, and then he transgressed them. He has limits, and then he transgressed them. Then he will repent and feel bad, and he will have remorse in this manner. He can erase the deed. He can erase the bad deed. he will have remorse and he will leave it. And he will leave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a means, the greatest means to erase the bad deed. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيَّةِ الْحَسَنَةِ تَمْحُوهَا. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this, he clarified the issue of dealing with the people. How one, he should deal with the people. How to deal with mankind. How do we deal with our family? How do we deal with our relatives? How should we deal with our neighbors? How we deal with our co-workers, those who are above us and under us, all of them, they're included in this narration. مُخَالِقِ النَّاسِ, any mankind, all of the people. بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, to deal with the people with good manners. To deal with the people with good manners. So we have been discussing the issue of التَّقْوَى. Until this point, we have been discussing the issue of التَّقْوَى. And this narration, it is collected by Tirmidhi and other than him, رحمه ta'ala, from the scholars of hadith. But likewise, there is a great scholar who has mentioned this narration in a collection of hadith as well. And it is Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi. And he had mentioned this narration in his collection of 40 hadith. And there are actually 42 hadith. But he called them 40. And he's rounding them off. Rounding them off. So the 40 hadith, if we were to read into the 18th hadith, we'll find this narration. So this is the 18th narration from the 40 hadith of Al-Hafidh al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 676. Another great scholar came after him later. His name is Ibn Rajab rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 795. And he gathered those collections, the same 40 or 42 narrations, and he added to them 8 narrations to make them 50. And then he explained them. And then he mentioned a great and a beneficial commentary on these 50 narrations. And he called that explanation or that commentary Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. So we have been reading some of the benefits that Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with regards to this narration. And from them is that he clarified the meaning of at-taqwa and the asl of that, and the foundation and the fundamental meaning in the Arabic language of the word at-taqwa, and that it comes from the word al-wiqaya, al-wiqaya. And al-wiqaya is a barrier or a shield. Tonight we review, as many of the noble brothers and sisters maybe haven't been following along. So we review to catch up from that which we have taken in the past few classes since the end of Ramadan. So at-taqwa, it comes from al-wiqaya, and it has a similar meaning. Yani, from the linguistic aspect and fundamental foundation or meaning. Al-wiqaya is a shield or a barrier. Al-wiqaya is something that will protect somebody from something that they're afraid of. Something that will be a means to protect them from something. And the person who goes to battle, he will take on the proper garments, and he will wear the proper armor and the likes as a wiqaya, and a means of protection to protect him from the weapons of the enemy. And likewise, whenever it's cold outside, a person, he will wear the proper clothing, yani that will keep his body warm, because he's afraid of the cold. So he'll take that clothing that will be warm, that will protect him from the cold of the weather outside. That clothing is a wiqaya for him, from that which he fears from the cold weather. So this is the fundamental meaning. If somebody is afraid of something, afraid of being harmed by something, he will take a wiqaya from that. He will take something and use it to protect him from that. To be a shield and a barrier from that thing that he's afraid of. To be a shield and a barrier from that thing that he's afraid of. So this is the fundamental meaning. And he, from the verb waqa yaqi qi, wiqayatan wa waqyan. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the people of paradise, the righteous, yani that they say in this life, waqina adhab an-nar. وَقِنَا عَذَابِ النَّارِ, and save us from the punishment of the fire. It's the same verb. وَوَقَاهُمُ اللَّهُ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَلَقَاهُمْ نَدْرَةً وَسُرُورًا. Now, وَوَقَاهُمْ شَرَّ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ, and Allah protected them from the evil of that day. And it's the same verb. Allah protected them. So Allah, He is the one who protects. But He has made means to be protected. He has made means and legislated means for a person to protect himself. And this is التَّقْوَى. So the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is that one, he will take a shield and a barrier and something to protect him from that which he fears. From the fear of Allah. From the fear of the anger of Allah and His punishment. from the fear of the anger of Allah and His punishment. There are things that will earn a person the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His protection, and likewise His aid and His assistance and His tawfiq. And there are other things that will earn a person, وَرِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His wrath and His punishment, and this life before the hereafter. So therefore, a believer, he should be afraid of Allah, the one who created us in the wombs of women, shaped us and formed us, and brought us into this point in our life. We're returning to Him every day, getting closer and closer. Should we not be afraid? Everybody's going to meet Him. There's no way to run. وَإِنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the end. That we end to Him. Our end is going to Him. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That verily, He created us and we're slaves under His command, and we're returning to Him. And we'll be asked about what we do. We'll be asked about what we say. We'll be asked about what we do. So we should prepare for that day by fortifying our soul with taqwa, with piety. By fortifying our soul with taqwa and piety, and protecting oneself, having a shield. So the one who is afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal, if he truly is sincere in his fear, and he is afraid of the punishment and the anger of Allah, then he will take a barrier between him and that which he fears from his punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is called a taqwa. Al-wiqayatin taqihi minhu, wa huwa bil-iman al-sadiq wal-amal al-salih. And it is by having sincere faith, true and sincere faith, correct faith, and righteous deeds, the application of that faith. That's the summarization. That's the summarization of a taqwa. If somebody wanted the summarization, what is a taqwa? What is that shield? What does that mean that will protect me from the fire of Allah, from the punishment of Allah? How can I be safe from the anger of Allah? You have to take a shield. What is the shield that will protect you? It is true and sincere faith, correct iman. Al-iman is sadiq, is sahih. Correct faith, correct iman. And iman that is based upon evidences and proofs that is found in the Quran and the Sunnah. Iman that is understood according to a sahaba, and likewise the scholars of hadith after them, from a tabi'een, wal atba' tabi'een. Yani having true iman that is based upon knowledge and clarification and evidence. Evidence that has been revealed. Believing in that which is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min rabbihi. That they believe in that which is revealed to Muhammad from his Lord sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iman that is based upon knowledge. And then likewise it is coupled with action. Sincere faith that produces action. Sincere faith that produces actions. Actions. Some of the people of knowledge, they have also went further to clarify that the reality of a taqwa, that true sincere faith, and that act, and those actions that are performed that will protect somebody from the anger of Allah, that is in reality by performing the commandments. By performing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. Imtithalu awamirihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, wajtinabu nawahi, and to stay away from His prohibitions. And this is all summarized to comply to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the greatest commandment is the commandment to worship Him alone, with no partners. The commandment of At-Tawheed. Ya qawmi, u'budu allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. And this is the greatest commandment, and this is the commandment that all of the prophets and messengers, they began their call with. The call to Tawheed, and to fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. This is the foundation of At-Taqwa. There is no taqwa except with At-Tawheed. Then the foundation of At-Taqwa, it is بتحقيق التوحيد. وَنَبْذْ الشِّرْكِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنْهُ وَمِنْ أَهْلِهِ. That a person, he would establish the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will worship Allah alone with monotheism, true Islamic monotheism. Worshipping Allah alone with no partners, and believing in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and leaving off shirk entirely and avoiding it. And freeing oneself from shirk and its people entirely. In this manner, a person, he can establish the foundation of a taqwa. Without this, there's no taqwa. Without this, there's no taqwa. There's no tawheed. There's no Islam. There's no iman. Except with the shahada and establishing what that requires. The foundation, the fundamental, at tawheed. وَنَبْذْ الشِّرْكِ. And to leave off shirk. And تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. To worship Allah alone and to not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. This is the foundation of a taqwa. This is the fundamental of a taqwa. This is the greatest commandment. And likewise, to leave off shirk and to stay away from that, that is the greatest prohibition. So this is the foundation of a taqwa. This is the foundation of a taqwa. After that, there are many other commandments. The commandment to pray and to establish the prayer properly. according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the key to the prayer is at tahara and purification. And likewise, there are commandments with regards to that. And there are commandments with regards to the wealth, and commandments with regards to the clothing, and commandments and prohibitions likewise with regards to the eyes, and to the ears, and to the food, and the drink, and the dealings, and the contracts. Many commandments and prohibitions. By complying to them, a person, he is establishing the taqwa, and he is giving himself and his soul a shield and a means protection from and a means of protection from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his punishment. It's not by lip service. It's not by talking. Many of the people, whenever you tell them to fear Allah, whenever you see them doing sins or falling short with regards to the commandments, they say, taqwa is in the heart. But likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, and they will say that. The Prophet, he said, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. The taqwa, piety, fear of Allah is in the heart. He said it three times. But the reality of that is that if it's truly in the heart, and if it's firm in the heart, it will be displayed in the speech. It will be displayed in the speech. And it will be displayed in the hands and the feet. And it will be displayed in the conduct of a person. That the reality of a taqwa nam is in the heart. And it's iman, sincere faith. But it will be displayed how strong it is, and the truthfulness of that claim to taqwa, and that which is in the heart, the actions, they testify to that. وَصَدَقَ بُرْهَانٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that charity is a proof. And a proof that he truly believes. He gives charity. And this is the case, that the actions, they testify to the authenticity of the faith and the correctness of the iman in the heart. So therefore, the reality of a taqwa is that it is a faith and a belief in the heart, and that it is no doubt in the heart. And every believer who is a Muslim, he has some taqwa. He has that foundation. But the people of a taqwa, they're not the same. Rather, they fluctuate. And this is from some of the benefits that we have taken. That the reality of a taqwa, it fluctuates. So if the shield and the protection from the anger of Allah fluctuates, then some people are exposed more than others. Some people are exposed more than others. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The verity, the most noble of you with Allah, the most noble, the one who has the highest rank, the one who's most beloved to Allah, is the one who has the most taqwa and the fear in his heart. The one who truly fears Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has more honor from Allah. He has more honor from Allah. المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير وفي كل خير. That the strong believer, the one who has strong faith, the one who has strong taqwa, and it shows in his actions and his conduct and his performance of the obligations and his ability to strive against the soul to leave off the prohibitions, the one who is strong in this, the one who is strong in his deen, al-quwwa fi deen, strength is in the religion, in the application of the deen, and learning and applying that knowledge. This is true strength. The one who has that strength, he's better and more beloved to Allah. He's better and more beloved to Allah. And he has a greater protection. And likewise, those who benefit from the Qur'an, they are the people of a taqwa. So the stronger the taqwa, the stronger the huda, or the greater the huda and the hidayah. And the greater one will benefit from the guidances of the Qur'an. Because of his compliance with the commandments and avoiding the prohibitions, Allah will recompense him from his mercy. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you show thanks by obeying Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase you. He will increase you. So the people who truly benefit from the Qur'an, likewise, are the people of a taqwa. Hudan. للمتقين. Guidance. The Qur'an is guidance for the people of a taqwa. So the people who strive to have taqwa, and they work against their soul, day in and day out. And don't think that the soul will ever be perfect. Rather, we have deficiencies. But there's a major difference between one who makes effort and one who tries, between the one who does not even care, or the one who just blatantly disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he feels nothing in his heart, or the one who is completely negligent of the commandments and he feels nothing in his heart. يُبَارِزُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالْمَعَاسِي. He will blatantly disobey Allah with disobedience. There's a big difference between this one and the one who's striving. And whenever he wakes up late, he feels bad. Or whenever he comes and he falls into a sin, or he looks, or he touches, or he talks, whatever the case may be, or he takes money from the wrong avenue, or some cash comes in his pocket and he knows it's not permissible, and he took it, he feels bad and his heart has remorse and regret. There's a big difference between these two type of people. So therefore, likewise, their protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different. And likewise, the guidance that they have and the aid and the support that they have is different. And the taqwa is the shield and the barrier. So if a shield is strong And the arrows come. What happened to the arrows? They're deflected very easily. A strong shield, the arrows bounce off. And the person behind the shield, he's safe and sound. But if the shield is, after some time, becomes worn out, after some time, the shield can't take arrows left and right, especially if they keep hitting the same spot. Especially if the arrows, they keep hitting the same spot. What happens to that one spot? It weakens. It weakens. It weakens. If that person doesn't take care of that shield, and especially that spot that right there that it keeps coming to, then pretty soon the arrows are going to come through. And he's going to be pierced. And he's going to be touched. And he's going to be harmed. Likewise, the taqwa is the same way. Barakallahu fikum. That it will get weak. It can get weak. Especially if that taqwa is becoming weak in the same spot. And if some person or some people, they're tried with a particular sin, and it keeps coming over and over, or it's something that they have a major issue with, and they're not having concern for, and not repenting from, there is a great weakness in that shield. There's a great weakness in that shield, and they should be afraid that they may be touched by the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, from that avenue specifically. So therefore, a person, he has to mend and take care of his faith, and take care of the taqwa, and rectify that. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us the keys. Follow up the baddie with the goodie, he'll wipe it out. A person, he can rectify his soul. He can fix himself with sincere tawbah and repentance to Allah, with the remembrance of Allah and striving against his soul. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لِيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ ثَوْبُ. The verity of the iman, لَيَخْلَقُ, it wears out, فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبُ, just as the garment wears out. The thawb, it wears out, or the iman, it wears out, just as the garment wears out. How does the garment wear out? Most of the time, does it just rip right away? The garment, sometimes they're real weak. If the garment is real weak, now it's cheap, it might rip right away. So if the iman is already cheap, some people, the deen with them, raqiq, jiddan, is weak. They have no deen, almost at all. And they have no fear of Allah. Any barrier, you will say that about them, but they're Muslims. And their garment might be ripped right apart, right away. Other people, their garments are beautiful, and they begin in that good manner. A new garment, it begins good, but after time, it wears out. It wears out. So in certain spots in the garment, it'll wear out like pants in the knees. What happens? It gets thin. It gets thin. It gets thin. Thinner and thinner, and then it'll start to tear. And then it'll fray, little by little, and then it'll get bigger. And then sometime, maybe he's not paying attention, he'll move real quick, and it'll rip all of a sudden, a big rip. Like this. This is something that happens to the garments. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the iman, it does the same thing. إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ. That the iman inside of one of you, and in your hearts, it will wear out, just as the garment wears out. So that's what happens to the taqwa. It can wear out. It can become weak. It can become weak. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise again, he gave us the cure. And this is from the prophetic methodology. That he will never just tell something and mention a disease or an ailment or a fault, except that he will also mention the cure for that. The cure for that. The cure for the weakness in faith is to do what? Is to return to the one who bestows the faith. Is to return and to ask it from the one who has the ability to give faith. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal. فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time, he said, then ask Allah to renew the faith in your hearts. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجدد الإيمان في قلوبنا جميعا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to renew the faith in all of our hearts. To renew the faith in all of our hearts. And this is from the goal of the likes of these gatherings, to remind one another, to take admonition, and to keep the faith strong. And many times we will learn in one of these gatherings, or we will hear in one of these gatherings something that we already know. Something that we already know, but something that I have learned, and it's a great benefit, that sometimes the best knowledge that you will hear in one day is something that you already know. And the Quran is called a dhikr, the reminder. Dhikra, it's a dhikr for those who take heed. So a believer, he has to be reminded. So from the great purpose of this gathering and the likes of these gatherings, is that we can remind one another, and that we can remember, and we can take care of our hearts, and we can take care of our souls and our iman, and it be a means to keep our faith strong. To keep our faith strong. Because we see in recent history, in the past few days, we have buried many brothers and sisters. We have buried many brothers and sisters in this masjid. They've been prayed on right here. We prayed on them. And they're not with us no more. Rahimahum Allah. Wa rahimahu Allahu al-Muslimin wa al-Muslimat. But that's the case, and that's our outcome. And we should not be heedless of that. We should not be heedless of that. Rather, we should fear Allah wherever we are. Rather, we should fear, we should take the advice of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should fear Allah wherever we are. So these are some of the benefits that we have taken, yani summarized, yani with regards to this affair. And likewise, we have seen that this admonition has come in more than one narration, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually he advised Abu Dharr and also Mu'adh with these specific issues more than one time, and it's come in more than one narration. And the narrations from the benefits that we have learned, yufassiru ba'duha ba'dha, that they clarify one another. They clarify one another. Like if you read one narration, it may not be clear the intent from that narration. But if you read another narration in the same topic or same situation, or even from the same narration with a different wording, it will clarify the meaning of that. It will clarify the meaning of that. So from those advices that have come, is that the first issue here, this is what we're talking about, a taqwa. The first wasiyyah, ittaqillaha haythu ma kunta. It had come in other narrations that the Prophet, he advised these three affairs. But instead of saying ittaqillaha in this wording, had to have the taqwa of Allah and fear Allah wherever you may be, he mentioned to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, istahi min Allah. Istahi min Allah. To be shy from Allah. To be shy from Allah. To be shy from Allah. This is something that is amazing to ponder over, to think about. This is iman, sincere faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned al-haya' shu'batun min al-iman. That haya', shyness, bashfulness, chastity, it is a branch from the branches of faith, and it's from iman. Meaning, if it goes away, then iman goes away with it. Iman goes away with it. If the haya' is there, then the iman is there accordingly. And if the haya becomes deficient, then the iman goes away. Likewise, the iman, it falls. And this is also from the issues that we have taken, that we have learned. The reality, yani at-taqwa and iman, there are terms that have the same meaning. Yani in general, there are terms in Islam, in the Quran and the Sunnah, they have the same meanings in general, whenever they're used in a general sense. But they all have a specific meaning whenever they're used together. But whenever they're alone, they have an inclusive meaning that includes the other. Like iman and Islam. Whenever they're mentioned together, they have different meanings. Iman or Islam refers to the outward actions and deeds. And iman, it refers to the inward actions. But whenever Islam is mentioned by itself or iman is mentioned by itself, it's all included. It's all included. The actions are from iman. And likewise, iman is not beneficial without Islam. And also like birr and taqwa and al-istiqamah. And likewise, other words with the same meaning. They ad-deen, at-tawheed, al-ikhlas, al-mutaba'ah. And al-mutaba'ah means to follow the messenger. Can you follow the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without taqwa? No, to have true mutaba'ah, you mean you have taqwa. To have taqwa, you follow the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You do all this, you're upon what? Ad-deen, you have al-islam, you have al-iman. You will be upon istiqamah, steadfast. So these terms, these beautiful terms, referring to the issues of the deen, they are all-inclusive meaning. So the one who has taqwa, he is upon istiqamah. And the one who is upon istiqamah, he has fulfilled the rites of at-tawheed, and his shahada is strong. And he is fulfilling the rites of the deen, and he has ikhlas, and he has sidq. Like this. So these terms, they're interchangeable, and they mean the deen. And this likewise has been clarified in the hadith of Abi Sa'id, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seen the people. He's seen the people, and they were present to him while he's sleeping. He's seen the people. Bayna ana na'imun, if yura wal nas yuraduna alayya wa alayhim qumus. He said, while I was sleeping, the people were presented to me, and they had on garments. They had qumus, qamis, this garment like we're wearing. This is a qamis. He said, minha ma yablugu athudi, wa minha ma duna dharika. From them, and he's seen all the people being presented to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they all got the thawb on. But some of them, from those people, they have some of them that their thobe reaches their breast area. And others less than that. And others less than that. Huh? If somebody had a garment on, waliyadu billah, and it comes up to his chest, what happened to the rest of his body? Fadiha. Huh? He's exposed. What is from the from a person's body? What is the worst thing to be exposed? The awra. The awra, his privates. And he's exposed even till his awra is exposed. Sawa. Yasu'u bin kishafihi. He don't like that. He don't like that for that to become exposed. The Prophet seen the people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're like that. Many of them, they only have a thobe up to here. Up to here. Others lesser than that. Others lesser than that. Meaning some of the people, they're exposed. They're exposed. ثم عرض علي عمر بن الخطاب عمر ابن الخطاب رضي الله عنه وعليه قميص يجره. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, he was presented to me and he had a garment on dragging it behind him. And he had a thobe on dragging it behind him. And the companions, they said, ما أولت ذلك يا رسول الله. Oh, what did you interpret this to mean, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What did he say? Ad-deen. 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 The garment is like a deen. The deen is like a garment. The deen is like a garment. Allah, he says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the garment of التَّقْوَى and the adornment of piety and righteousness, the fear of Allah, this is best. And this is from the best of the benefits that have preceded with regards to this issue. That the deen is like a garment. And a person, he wears a garment for reasons. There's benefits from wearing a garment. First and foremost, to what? To cover the so'a. To cover the awra. To cover the awra. To cover his private parts. He wears a garment to cover his private parts. And that's an obligation in the first place. To cover the private parts. Sah? Even the fitrah knows that. You don't go outside with the private parts and cover. Look how many people they have even opposed their own fitrah. Exposing their private parts. What happened whenever Allah became angry with Adam? Their private parts were exposed. So the fact that a person exposes his private parts, this is a sign that Allah is not pleased with them. And because of the deen, lack of deen, because the deen, it covers a person. So from the reasons that we cover, that we wear a garment, is to cover the private parts. Likewise, as an adornment. It's a beautification. A person who put on a thobe, a nice thobe, right? Especially on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, or rather whenever he comes out of his house. Especially when he comes to the masjid. Especially whenever he comes to stand in front of Allah, even if he's in his house. He'll put on a good garment to stand in front of Allah or to stand in front of the people, especially those who are respectful and the likes and the events. Yani he will adorn himself with a garment. He will adorn himself with his thobe. So then the garment is a means to cover the private parts and likewise a means of an adornment. And also the garment is also a means of protection. Protect from the wind and from the rain and from the sun and the likes. So the garment is very beneficial. But libas wa taqwa dhalika khair. With deen, and awwalahu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ad-deen, the thawb ad-deen. So the deen is like a garment that a person, he wears it. Whenever the deen is strong, the garment is long. The garment is beneficial. The garment will protect him. The garment will adorn him and beautify him. Whenever a person, he adorns himself with the actions of taqwa and the statements of taqwa and the conduct and the manners of a taqwa, then he will be beautified and he will be adorned and he will be respected and he will be honored. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That verily the most noble with you and with Allah, the most noble of you with Allah is the one who has the most taqwa. So the taqwa is like a garment that he will wear it. And the deen is like a garment that he will wear, that will adorn him, that will adorn him, that will bring him honor from Allah and honor from the people. The people will see him and he will have light with him and he will have benefit with him and he will be upright on a straight path because of his deen, because of his taqwa. وَلِبَاسُ taqwa ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. But if he's not careful, what happens to the garment? It wears out, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And likewise, it gets dirty. And likewise, it can get dirty. It can become dirty. But a person, he can wash it, it can become clean again. Likewise, the taqwa can become dirty, but it can become clean again. Alhamdulillah. So these affairs, yani they have preceded. Yani, but taqwa, the deen, this is yani, in reference to the deen. The deen is taqwa. The deen is taqwa. There's no deen without taqwa. There's no deen without tawheed. These names are interchangeable. Istiqama, steadfastness, uprightness, the shahada and la ilaha illallah. That's the reality of a taqwa, to fear Allah by complying to His commandments, staying away from His prohibitions. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, ittiba' Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all from taqwa. This is all from piety. If that becomes deficient, that's a deficiency in his shahada. That's a deficiency in his tawheed. That's a deficiency in his ikhlas. That's a deficiency in his sidq. That's a deficiency in his Islam. That's a deficiency in his iman. the iman can become deficient. And even in the books of fiqh, we know that the people of knowledge, they talk about that. Al-fasiq al-milli. Al-mu'min naqisul iman. And the iman can become weak. It can become deficient. And whenever that happens, we're exposed. Whenever the garment becomes deficient, what happens? If it's long, he's good, right? He's good from the heat, from the rain. He's good. Likewise, he's beautiful. If it becomes weak, he's exposed accordingly. Maybe it has a tear in it, he's exposed accordingly. Maybe it becomes tore and it becomes shorter, like in the narration. If it's shorter and shorter, it becomes so short, it can become so short until the person, his whole awrah is exposed. Until his whole awrah is exposed. There's another meaning of the word awrah. What is that? Awrah means private parts. The awrat, awrat al-nas, has another meaning. لا تتابعوا عورات المسلمين ما تتبع عورات المسلمين تتبع الله عوراتهم. Do not follow up the awrat of the Muslimin. Do not look for the awrat. And you mean look for their private parts? لا. Look for their shortcomings, look for their faults, look for their errors, seeking out their sins and deficiencies to expose them. Whoever does that, then Allah will expose his faults. And the point is that the awrat likewise means the faults and the sins and the deficiencies that a person he has. So if the garment is strong, then his faults and deficiencies are covered. If a person has a strong garment, maybe he has deficiency in his body and the likes like this, or in his build, or whatever the case may be. But if he has a strong and good garment on, he's covered and he's safe. But if not, then he's exposed likewise accordingly. Some people, they expose themselves. And he's exposed, not meaning his body, meaning his soul. His reality, his deen, his weakness in faith, the weakness in tawheed, the weakness in his religion becomes exposed. People partaking in riba, he's exposing himself. Maybe many people, they don't care, but the righteous, they care. That's a major thing in the heart of a believer. From the rights of a taqwa is to have honor and love for the commandments of Allah and respect for them, and that it will be great in the heart that the commandments will be violated, or the prohibitions will be violated. And so some people, they expose themselves, like they don't even care. Maybe somebody would say, he doesn't even fear Allah. هذا لا يتقي الله. This person doesn't fear Allah. And meaning that he doesn't have taqwa, he's exposed. So this affair is very, very important to be concerned with a person's faith, and to be concerned with a person's iman, and to be concerned with the person's soul, so that he can cover his faults and he can protect himself from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he can protect himself from the anger of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, he has commanded the taqwa in his book. He has commanded the people with the taqwa in his book. And it has come any three different any commandments were directed to three different categories of people. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, Ya ayyuhan nas, اتقوا ربكم. O mankind, fear your Lord. O mankind, Allah, he called all mankind to fear your Lord. Not the believers, rather all mankind. The people of knowledge, they mention what is intended here, to fear your Lord, meaning with the foundation of tawheed. حقق الإيمان. ادخلوا في السلم كافة. Become a Muslim. Become a Muslim, establish a tawheed, and leave off shirk entirely. And this is what I intended here. Whenever all of the people are called to tawheed, called to taqwa, اتقوا ربكم, يعني enter into Islam and be a Muslim. Establish a tawheed and leave off shirk entirely. And establish the shahadatain. This is what is intended here. اتقوا ربكم, and you fear your Lord, all mankind like this, come to Islam, submit as a Muslim. Comply to a tawheed and leave off shirk and all of its people like this. But likewise, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned in more than one verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, any of those people who have already established that tawheed, ittaqullah, to fear Allah. Now this means to, after fulfilling that great foundation of the shahada and establishing the tawheed and leaving off shirk, now after that there are rights. The rights of the shahada, the requirements of the shahada, the conditions of the shahada, to actualize the tawheed, to fulfill the rights of the statement that the Messenger Muhammad, he is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These statements, they have meanings and they have requirements and rights and conditions that they must be fulfilled. So a person, he can come into Islam and he has the foundation of Islam, But after that, he has to correct his deen. And he has to fulfill the obligations of Islam in order for his deen to be good. Because at Islam is the foundation. But not everybody's Islam is good. Some people, they have good Islam. And others, they have bad Islam. And amongst the Muslims. Amongst the Muslims. And he going back to the issue of the fluctuation of the deen, the people of the deen. That iman and taqwa, these affairs, they fluctuate. And the deen, a person's deen, it fluctuates. So that some people, they have Islam. He's a Muslim. He has the rights of the Muslim. He has what's for the Muslim. If he dies, we pray on him. If he give us salam, we give him salam. We visit him if he's sick and the likes like this. But his deen is weak. His Islam is not good. He's not busy with what concerns him. He busies himself with what does not concern him. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, min husni Islam in mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. He meant from the good Islam of somebody that he leaves off that which does not concern him. Does riba concern him? Does selling pork concern him? Does selling alcohol concern him? Does selling drugs concern him? Does looking at those filthy images on the internet concern him? Does gambling concern him? Gambling concern him. Those cards they got in the windows of the shops. Does this concern? This doesn't concern him. Whatever is haram definitely does not concern us. What concerns us with regards to that is to avoid it, to stay away from it, to not come near it. So the one who busies himself with that which does not concern him, and the first and foremost with regards to that is the actions of disobedience, the muharramat, then he does not have good Islam. He has Islam, but he doesn't have good Islam. So therefore a believer, he has to strive to have good Islam. He has to strive to have good Iman. He has to strive to fulfill the rights of Islam, and the rights of Iman, and the rights of the Shahada, and fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal after establishing the foundation. And this is all from those benefits that we have seen before. We have talked about the issue between kufr and iman. And this is the subject that we're talking about now. Kufr and iman. So we have, for example, here is a line. Down here is kufr. Kufr likewise is not one level. Darakat. The kufar are not one level, and their punishment is not the same. But they will never, those who die upon disbelief, kufr, will never enter into the paradise. They will never see the mercy of Allah after their death. وَلِيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. But there also, darakat, levels down in evil and corruption. But after that, establishing the foundation of a taqwa, which is the shahada, and to establish a tawheed and leave off shirk. Now a person, he leaves the realm of disbelief and enters into the realm of iman. He's a Muslim. From here, he's a Muslim. He has the rights of a Muslim. What's for him is what's for the Muslims is for him. What's against the Muslims is against him. And he's held responsible for what they're held responsible for. After that, there's an obligation. What the people of knowledge, they mentioned, al-iman al-wajib. Al-iman al-wajib. The obligatory iman. Or here, for example, ittaqillah haythuma kuntum, at-taqwa al-wajiba. At-taqwa al-wajiba. There's an obligatory amount to have of at-taqwa. For the shield to be strong. For the garment to be long. For the garment to be good and beneficial. For a person's privates to be kept safe and to be covered. For his faults to be covered. There's an obligatory amount to have. So here's the line. He's not a disbeliever. He's a believer. He's a Muslim. He has faith. But after that, in the realm of faith, there's a level that must be reached. It's called al-iman al-wajib. Al-iman al-wajib. And this is by performing the obligations and leaving off the prohibitions. Performing the obligations and leaving off the prohibitions. Performing the obligations and leaving off the prohibitions. From the obligations of al-iman is to love for your brother what you love for yourself. Naam? لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Not one of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And then not one of you believes al-iman al-wajib. Meaning his iman is deficient. So if a person, he does not love for his brother what he loves for himself, what happens to his iman? Go all the way down into kufr? This is the important point. This is what the Mu'tazila, they understand. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, the one who falls into a major sin, his iman doesn't just come down accordingly, it goes all the way down past that line. But that's not the case with Ahl Sunnah. What do they say? That if he fell into a major sin, it'll go down accordingly. A major sin, accordingly. If he repents, what happens to his iman? It goes up. إِذَا أَتْبَعَ سَيِّئَتَهُ بِحَسَنَةٍ, what happens to his iman? If he followed up that bad deed with a good deed, what happens to his iman? It goes back up. So we have these lines here. The first line below it is kufr, and above it is, iman or Islam. Because to be a Muslim, you have to have the amount of iman that your Islam is correct by way of. So that's iman. And then the people, they fluctuate. There's a point here that's obligatory to have. The one who has this obligatory iman, he has the promise of entering paradise without punishment. The one who has that, who fulfills the obligatory iman and he dies upon that, he has the promise of entering the paradise without punishment. He has the promise of entering the paradise without punishment. He has the bushra. When he dies, he's good. The grave is good for him. After that, it's good for him. The hereafter is good for him. And the one who reached this level, what is that level? Al-Iman, Al-Wajib. What do you have to do to get there? Fulfill the obligations. And stay away from the prohibitions. These are words that we say all the time, but this is the key. This is the deen. This is the test. مَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me alone. The test is that worship is in compliance. Compliance and submission and love. If you love Allah, you're going to obey Him. The more you love Him, the more you obey Him. The love of Allah is like taqwa. The love of Allah is like iman. The love of Allah is like Islam. Every Muslim, he has taqwa. Every Muslim, he has the love of Allah. Every Muslim, he loves the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it fluctuates. This iman right here, this line light right here, also some people of knowledge, they call it mutlaqul iman. These terms are very beneficial. Mutlaqul iman. When he reaches the top here, al-iman al-wajib, another term for that is al-iman al-mutlaq, absolute faith, any complete faith. So to complete faith, to complete your faith, to correct your Islam, for us to complete our deen, we have to fulfill the commandments and stay away from the prohibitions. We have to fulfill the commandments to the best of our ability. نعم ما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. What I command you to do, do it as much as you can. اتقوا الله ما استطعتم. Fear Allah. اتقوا الله. Have the fear of Allah. Have the taqwa of Allah as much as you can. We have to strive to do this. The commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla are great. The one who truly honors Allah, he honors His commandments. The one who truly loves Allah, he loves His commandments. The one who truly honors Allah, he honors the prohibitions. He honors them. He loves to be up on the straight path. To fall into the prohibitions is something that's major in his heart. A'udhu billah. Thinking about it will cause him to say a'udhu billah. And for his heart to have some detest for that. And then he'll be afraid of that. And in the commandments and the prohibitions, this is where the test is. And this is where the success is. And this is the deen. And those who establish that, they have protection from Allah and they have taqwa. And they have Islam that is good, that is beneficial for them in this life. The shahada is heavy in the scales. The pleasure of Allah is great in their right. The aid and assistance from Allah. They benefit from the Quran. They read the Quran and it goes in their heart. They hear the recitation and it goes in their heart. Why? Because of their care and concern for the performance of the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions. That's the issue of a taqwa. The reality of a taqwa is to have concern with these affairs. Can we comply to the commandments if we don't know them? Can we stay away from the prohibitions if we don't know them? Yeah. No, you can never do that. So therefore, also from the sign that a person truly loves Allah, or that he has taqwa, is that he's a person of knowledge. He's learning what is obligatory. He's learning the commandments. He has concern for that. He wants to know what Allah has commanded him. And he wants to know how to perform that in the manner that He commanded. And he wants to know what Allah has prohibited him. And he wants to be able to avoid that and stay away from it in a manner that Allah has commanded. And this is from the greatest affairs. Rather, this is what a person, his main concern is. His main concern in his life is like this. This is his niyyah. His niyyah and his intention in life is to get to the pleasure of Allah. Is to die upon good Islam. Is that when the angel of death comes to him, his Islam is good. His iman is strong. His taqwa is beneficial for him. That's what he's hoping for. So therefore, he's living like that. اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. After that level, So we have mutlaq mutlaq al-iman. He's in faith. He's a Muslim. After that, there's obligations that he must fulfill. Some people, they think, for example, the shahada, salat, zakat. What's next? Sawm and hajj. That this is the pillars of Islam. Yes, that's correct. These are the pillars of Islam. But they think that's all of Islam. That's not all of Islam. These are the pillars of Islam, but it's not all of Islam. And with this right here, you come mutlaq al-iman. After that, there's Islam. There is a great field of khayr and goodness. From it, there are obligations. Other than that, just like the pillar, if the pillar is set up and a person is building a building, he doesn't just put the pillar, like the pillar here behind it is steel, and it's not beautiful, but it's strong. The pillars are strong. They're not decorated. And itself, it's strong. It's metal. It's hard. It's solid. It's stick, and that's what's holding up the building. Do they leave it like that and open the building? What do they do to it? They build around it, bricks and or wood, and they decorate it. They decorate it, they adorn it. And if somebody had a building established with the pillars, with nothing, just the pillars bare like that, somebody would be like, this house is not complete. This house is deficient. You got to cover the pillars. And the awrah. Like this. Yani the awrah got to be covered. Yani so the person, likewise of faith, iman, islam, is the same way. There are the foundations that is standing by way of strong and firm. But this has to be decorated and adorned and completed by fulfilling the other obligation and rights of Al-Islam. Lowering your gaze. This is from the rights of Islam. It's an obligation, you have to do it. Where you get your money from. This is an obligation, you have to be concerned. How you spend your money. It's an obligation, you have to be concerned. All of these affairs. Yani that those who have rights over us from our wives and likewise our children, how do we raise them? Do we give them their rights? What about our neighbor? This obligation, an obligation of iman. Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. Yani, he doesn't believe, meaning he doesn't have mutlaq al-iman. La, he has iman, but he doesn't have an iman al-wajib. Wallahi, he doesn't believe who? Man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu, the one who his neighbor is not safe from his harm, from his evils. So this is an obligation of iman. The one who prays, and the one who gives charity, and the one who fasts, and he harms his neighbor. There was a woman like this, you know that. In the hadith, there was a woman like that. And she was known for praying, non-obligatory prayer. Fasting, non-obligatory fast, after the obligatory. But she harmed her neighbor with her tongue. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about her? She's in the fire. Because she didn't, that's an obligation. Just like praying is an obligation, it's an obligation that your neighbor is safe from your harm. And from the obligatory iman. Those who fulfill that point, he's safe from the fire. Those who are underneath that point, he's exposed accordingly. تَحْتَ مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ. If Allah wills, he will punish him. And if Allah wills, he will forgive him and pardon him. The line? Kufr. Iman. Mutlaq iman. And he has faith. After that, al-iman al-wajib, or al-iman al-mutlaq, the obligatory iman he must complete. The one who completes it, what's his promise? The one who completes it and he dies in that way, what's his promise? With no punishment. He will not be punished. He didn't do anything to be punished for. Allah is just, and he's kareem, subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that level, right here, there's what's called, the scholars they call it, al-iman al-mustahab. Al-Iman al-Mustahab. All the way up in the ranks. وَكُلَّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. The ranks. After completing the deen, after that, there's Iman al-Mustahab. Yani the recommended aspect of Iman. The recommended Iman is in the heart. Actions of Iman in the heart and in the tongue and on the hands and the likes. There's recommended affairs that one can compete to obtain the ranks of a taqwa. And the karama and honor, and to, one can compete in the completion of his deen and the perfection of his faith and in this life. And the author, he mentioned many of these affairs. So we had begun studying this narration and reading from the benefits of Ibn Rajab. Yani, so we had started that. So we'll continue, inshallah, and finish this topic yani, in the days to come. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And after that, we go back to our normal schedule. Our normal schedule is we have two classes, two books a week, and on Sunday and Monday we have a book, and Tuesday and Wednesday we have a book. صح؟ So inshallah, after we finish this, we're going to go back to that schedule. بإذن الله تعالى. And that schedule will be inshallah. And we're on Sunday and Monday we're studying. Who knows? عمدة الأحكام كتاب الزكاة حج صوم كتاب الصلاة نحن في كتاب الصلاة بعد middle of كتاب الصلاة. So عمدة الأحكام إن شاء الله, and the book is available in the مكتبة Sunday and Monday, and then we will begin a new book inshallah on Tuesday and Wednesday, and that book is called Al-Kabair. Al-Kabair, the major sins. Al-Kabair by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's a book written about the clarification of the major sins. The major sins, those major sins, that what do they do to iman and wajib? They take big portions out. Big portions out, the major sins. So that book is also available, alhamdulillah. But we should pay attention, there's two books called Al-Kabair. One originally by Al-Hafidh Al-Dhahabi, and another one by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Both of them I think are available in the maktaba, but the one that we study in the class is the one by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, inshallah. That'll be after we finish this, so maybe this week or next week we finish reading from the benefits here related to this narration, and then we'll go to those works inshallah ta'ala. And likewise after Fajr on Yawm al-Sabt we have Kitab At-Tawheed, the book of At-Tawheed by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and we're in the chapter Ma ja'a fi at-tatayyur, that which has come with regards to at-tatayyur, superstitions and the likes. So these are the classes that we have, and this will be our schedule inshallah ta'ala. Anybody have any question or comment related to the class first and foremost?
What day is after Fajr?
After Fajr on Saturday. After Fajr on Saturday until Shuruq inshallah. Any questions? Any comments? Barakallahu fikum. Sometimes we see, I was talking and I forgot, sometimes you say, fear Allah, ya ayyuhan nas, taqullah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullah. Also, there is, ya ayyuhan nabi, oh, you prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taqillah. What does that mean? The first one meant, whenever the commandment for all mankind to fear Allah, to do what? To establish the shahada, tawheed, and leave shirk. As for the believers, to complete the deen, fulfill the obligations of iman, and to leave off the prohibitions entirely. طيب, here, ya ayyuhan nabi, taqillah. Oh, you prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear Allah. What does that mean? في تبليغ الرسالة. It means to continue to be firm and steadfast, and to complete, to continue with steadfastness and fulfilling the rights of taqwa. And he's commanding him with something that he has. Like in Nisa, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu billah. And to command somebody with something they have means to be steadfast upon that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.